The Set Piece, Something Small and Beautiful, by Ralph Fletcher. In his or her journals, the writer is unprofessional, unbuttoned, unguarded. A writer uses a journal to try out the new step in front of the mirror. He or she can abandon constraints of narrative form and allow the luxury of verbal spontaneity. In journals, therefore, we often find delightful small set pieces, descriptions for their own sake, character sketches, bits of philosophy, heartfelt cries that take on a particular brightness precisely because they aren't embedded in a larger narrative. Mary Gordon. Go to any playground and you'll see kids practicing moves. Over there, that kid in the Knicks t-shirt is trying hard to balance a spinning basketball on his forefinger. On the soccer field, a girl is juggling a soccer ball, seeing how many times she can hit it with her feet and knees before it hits the ground. What's going on? Moves like these aren't very practical. It's hard to imagine how balancing a spinning basketball or juggling a soccer ball would ever come in handy during an actual game. But they do demonstrate certain intangibles that are important to becoming a skilled player. Balance, confidence, a feel for the ball. These intangibles signal membership in the club, a way for the player to announce first to himself or herself, and then to the world, I've got a little game. I can play. I belong in this league. My notebook is the place where I try out moves. I take an idea or technique and play with it for a stretch, seeing how long I can keep it going. I like towns with two-word names, New York, West Islip, Ann Arbor, Chapel Hill, Murder Creek. There's a freedom of space in two-word towns, a distance between the chapel and the hill, Ann and the arbor, murder and the creek, that makes breathing easier. I get nervous in one-word towns. I get claustrophobic. I dug this piece out of a notebook I kept during my late 20s. It's not profound writing that tries to touch on any immortal truth. Rather, it's reaching for ironic humor, wit. And much as it is fashionable to disown one's pathetic early writing attempts, I think this one works pretty well. I can sense the fun behind the writing, as well as the more serious long-term purpose, learning to juggle the words of my craft, getting my balance, finding my voice, gaining confidence, trying to prove to myself that I am good enough to play in this league. The audience for this set piece was nobody but me. I fashioned it for my eyes, my practice, my pleasure. And I believe this is true for most writers. Occasionally, a piece like this is a rehearsal for publishable writing, but more often, it gets written for the sheer pleasure or challenge of the prose itself, with little worldly ambition beyond that. The set piece is a genre specific to the writer's notebook. It can range in length from a few sentences to a few paragraphs, perhaps longer. It differs from a typical entry by its wholeness and polish. Like a poem or short story, the set piece has a distinct beginning, middle, and end. Usually it can stand on its own, separate and unattached to larger work. It is an informal genre. There are no set rules to the set piece. The urge to craft a set piece begins with the desire to create something small and beautiful. John Cheever's journals are peppered with set pieces. So much so that at one point he complains about his tendency to write too many of them. Some of these pieces explore characters he has observed and speculated about, others describe places, settings imbued with that famous Cheeverian light. Still others describe a particular state of mind. The house was dark, of course. The snow went on falling. The last of the cigarette butts was gone, the gin bottle was empty, even the aspirin supply was exhausted. He went upstairs to the medicine cabinet. The plastic vial that used to contain Milltown still held a few grains, and by wetting his finger he picked these up and ate them. They made no difference. At least we're alive, he kept saying. At least we're alive. But without alcohol, aspirin, barbiturates, coffee, and tobacco, it seemed to be living death. At least I can do something, he thought. At least I can distract myself. At least I can take a walk. But when he went to the door, he saw wolves on the lawn. This set piece is not wholly fictitious. Cheever himself admitted that he struggled with various addictions during his life. Working from this autobiographical seed, Cheever carefully crafts this passage with all the tools available. Authentic tone, chilling detail, frame-by-frame motion, repetition, voice. Interesting that he chose to write about this character through the third-person he instead of the I. The final image of the wolves brings this piece to a definite and disturbing end. If a novel is a marathon, the set piece is a sprint. Reading the set pieces from various authors' notebooks, you can sense their pleasure in writing a brief stretch of prose without having the additional pressure of having to integrate it into a novel or short story. The notebooks of Dorian Lowe contain several set pieces that portray a vision of the world, a vision grounded in memorable particularity. I have always loved the world, in spite of itself. The cancreous volcanoes, the lurid eye of the iguana, the lure of black water. I guess because it gives back what it takes, manure to flower, dead wood to mushroom, water to rain. Even when the worst was upon me, the father's belly large with his children's souls, even as the light was sucked from my mouth, my eyes darkening, even then, I watched the fly climb the wall, iridescent, winged a holy image to carry with me until I woke. Usually I wait for something to inspire a set piece of writing, but I sometimes take a more active role and give myself a specific writing task I sense might stretch me. In early autumn, I went with my family to a restaurant at York Beach in Maine. When we arrived, the restaurant had not yet opened, so we took the kids across the street to the beach. The beach was beautiful and cold, and strangely moving at low tide. Write about this, I told myself. The next day I did. Went to Memo's yesterday. The restaurant wasn't open yet, so we wandered across the street to kill time. Clear, sunny, cold on the beach. It was low tide with a strong onshore wind and lots of long shadows and everything illuminated by pure, slanting late afternoon light. As if we were all exactly halfway between two worlds. Day and night, land and sea, earth and sky. The sand dark with dry, whiter sand blowing over it. The dry sand made ghostly ribbons, white snakes. Joseph and Robert squealed, chasing them down to the water's edge. I was ravenous. My nose was twitching, torn between the smell of the sea and the aroma wafting from the restaurant, pungent rivers of butter and garlic snaking invisibly through the air. Writing this feels as satisfying as being alone and hitting a tennis ball against a smooth wall, trying to hit it flat and low and hard. Whap! 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 I'm trying out a new move, describing a particular place at a specific time of day. I give myself lots of room to play, even as I try, finally, to bring the piece to some small resolution, to polish it, to produce an effect for an imagined reader. You can use your notebook to try out set pieces. If you're looking for a subject, you might reread your notebook and see whether a line or image jumps out at you. Or use what is close at hand. Is there a character around town you've watched and wondered about? Is there a particular gesture your father makes, a ritual he plays out at the end of your family gatherings? Is there a special Sunday night breed of despair you feel, exhausted by the weekend, not yet ready to face Monday morning? It usually takes me a few drafts until the set piece sounds the way I want. Set pieces are usually short enough that I can try two or three versions on a double notebook page. Getting in the habit of crafting and polishing set pieces in your notebook can help you acquire the moves and bounce and stride of a writer. The set piece may be foremost an act of playfulness and pleasure, but when skillfully done, it has an undeniable value of its own. When I am dead, make of my skin a sounding board. Drum out hope where there was none before. Make a timpani of my bones in despair. Go past shame and remember me as I truly was, child of a family not meant to survive, who lived anyway. Remember me, the one who loved well the women in her life. Dorothy Allison.